Why, thanks for the introduction, Paul. Today I'm here with a very interesting pair of individuals. They're with something that's in the crowdfunding space. They're getting ready to be in the crowdfunding space called the Horror Equity Fund. And I'm here with Marlon, who's the founder and CEO, and Brian, who's their chief creative officer. So, gentlemen, welcome to the show. Why don't you take a couple of minutes and tell people, first of all, who you are, what your backgrounds are, because you've got some pretty significant backgrounds in this space. And then talk about the Horror Equity Fund and what you're trying to do with that.
Thanks very much. This is Marlon Shulman. And as you said, I'm the founder and CEO of the Horror Equity Fund. This is, just to be very clear, we play in the equity space. Everything that we do deals with equity ownership in a project, ownership in HEF itself, Horror Equity Fund. And my background by training, I was an actor, but I'm trained as an attorney for years. I practiced in New York and worked in Los Angeles, worked for various studios, including Walt Disney, Orion Pictures. I created a rather significant virtual company called Anime Village for Bandai Entertainment, one of the biggest toy and anime companies in the world. And I helped introduce anime to the United States in a mainstream position. I very much believe in the power of community and giving rabid fans what they want in a better state. And Brian?
Yeah, I'm Brian Herskowitz. I'm the Chief Creative Officer of Horror Equity Fund. I'm a screenwriter, director, producer. I've been teaching screenwriting for the last 20-something years, the last nine with the Boston University in Los Angeles program. I have a textbook out called Process to Product, Practical Guide for the Screenwriter. And I'm thrilled to be here. Jim, thank you.
So with the Horror Equity Fund, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, so now tell us a little bit about the Horror Equity Fund.
The Horror Equity Fund is a company that discovers, develops, accelerates to market, and assists in the funding of horror-centric projects, mainly films, but we also have live-action projects. We have some authors that are being attached to the company, or their projects are. There's some rave performance art that's involved, but mainly horror. And the reason why it's horror is that horror, which is not known by many people as such, is the single highest ROI sector in the entertainment business, with the possible exception of porn. Hmm. But as far as mainstream entertainment goes, it generally and on a perennial basis, 15 out of the top 20 ROI motion pictures are horror. And when we say horror, that's thriller, psychological thriller, tension-inducing, blood-curdling screams, sometime-inducing types of projects.
And we also are going to be playing in the games and virtual reality space, which is a multi-billion dollar business as well.
Yeah, I'm actually... I know a little bit about the gaming industry. I actually started a community that's currently in Corona, California, for computer gaming, putting together an entrepreneurial ecosystem up there of a seed accelerator, an incubator, and then some gaming companies up in that area. So I got to do things like go to E3 and see all the crazy people that were there. And if I never see another 100-foot screen with high volume CD quality audio, I'll be happy, because that was just crazy.
Well, you might have seen us there. We have a number of consultants within the company dealing with the video game and augmented reality and virtual reality space. It's as you know, and probably a lot of your listeners, the gaming industry actually dwarfs the movie industry,
yes.
And a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, actually, by the way, the gaming company that first got the early stage Oculus Rift was located in Corona, and he actually did the first game that they had for Oculus Rift. So, It's interesting that a little town like Corona, that's far away but not that far away from LA, you know, has some really interesting, talented people. So, so the fund itself. So you're doing crowdfunding, which is, I'm really glad the companies are coming on doing crowdfunding, because I get tired of trying to explain to people that Kickstarter is not a crowdfunding operation because there's no equity passed. And there's a lot of confusion between the terms crowdsourcing and crowdfunding. So tell me how it would work, or your view of how you work.
Well, first of all, we applaud you for making that distinction for us. So much of our time is taken up, it seems, explaining that we are not Kickstarter, we're not Indiegogo. Those are not scalable businesses for individuals and for products. Those are pre-orders. Those are, you know, good karma. How it works is we're not only dealing with crowdfunding equity projects. At the end of the day, when we're fully operational, we'll basically have three ways of supporting economically a given project. We will be able to use the tried and true methodologies of finding co-productions, acquisitions, private equity money, etc. How Hollywood and more importantly, how independent motion pictures are presently funded. We'll also be able to have our own money as half horror equity fund, and we can start a project's funding, or we can complete it ourselves. We can add special effects funding, we can do completion funding, etc., depending on the budget and what we want to do. The third way, and any of these can be mixed in at the same time, we will have at least one platform, initially for accredited investors, where we will have crowdfunding as people might think it appears to be, where we solicit large numbers of people for smaller amounts of money in order to have an equity position in the film. The new law could have come out that won't take effect until some months into next year. Either we will have our own crowdfunding platform for non-accredited investors, or we will utilize a separately owned, depending on how it comes down, crowdfunding platform that will be for $1 million projects and less. Those are the ones that presently the new laws allow non-accredited investors to invest for equity. So we'll have those three ways of doing things. Plus, we offer other resources for producers, filmmakers, project issuers, casting funds, and Brian can talk more about that, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
So go ahead, Brian.
One of the things we do is, you know, we're really focused on mitigating the risk for the investor. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that the investor has the greatest opportunity for finding profit in any project that we take on. So one of the first things we did is we looked at what is the primary focus and how do you mitigate that risk, and that came from the quality of the projects come in. So we designed a program that allows us to look at projects, vet them for quality. We came up with our own algorithm that helps us determine whether or not a project we feel is of the right quality and has the right marketing to be potentially profitable. So when you look at the investment and try to mitigate risk, the next step that we do is we go to distributors and sales reps, because without some sort of an exit strategy on a project, you go out as an independent filmmaker, you make a movie, you don't necessarily have the opportunity to get money back to the investors. So we look at what is the exit strategy, how do we return that money to the investor. Once we've done that, then we go out and look for money, and whether that's the three methods that Marlon just enumerated, either private equity or partnerships, or we put in our own money, or we go to this crowd equity crowdfunding investment site. So we have those three elements that we can do. The other thing that we do is, I'm an independent producer, have been for many years, and one of the things that I've seen over and over and over again is independent filmmakers, content providers, they run into several brick walls that are the catch-22 of the industry. The first is, where do you get your money? Mm-hmm. The second is, how do you get your film out into the marketplace through distribution? And the third is, where do you go to get talent? And those are all three tied so intimately together that you can't really separate them, because talent will help you get the money. The money will help you get the talent. Both of them help you get distribution. And all of them require that there be money in place. So one of the things that we did as a company, again, with the focus on mitigating the risk for the investor, was we went, as an independent filmmaker, you have to have money to offer an actor to get cast. So we put together what we will have as a casting fund that allows an independent filmmaker to come to us. We make a deal. We say, we'll put money aside for that actor that then will generate interest from a distributor. And that also helps mitigate the risk for the investor. The other thing we did is we said, look, a lot of films get out there and they can't get distribution. They're stuck. And without distribution, even if you have a name, you may not find that distributor to get your film out into the theaters or onto your video on demand. So we put together a fund for what used to be called print and advertising. Now I think we have to call it digital and advertising. Mm-hmm. But there's now, we're going to put funds together that allow every filmmaker that we take on and we do a deal with on for their casting and P&A fund, that we can and take care of those needs, which again answer the questions for the investor and mitigating their risk.
And since we start in the first instance looking for distribution, we can target which projects go out through quote-unquote traditional means, cutting-edge means, and then, if necessary, platform release or, as Brian was discussing it, with the use of our P&A fund resource.
So one of the questions that I generally run into when not talking about the main things of what you're doing, which is you're really working on project-focused investments as opposed to company-focused investments. Although I'm assuming that someplace inside of there could be company in, focused investments.
Well, Jim, I actually have to slightly disagree, or at least clarify. Initially, Horror Equity Fund as a company is looking, we're doing a Regulation D raise right now, mm-hmm. Looking for, through accredited investors, people who want to invest in the company itself.
Sure.
And we think it's a very smart investment insofar as you now, inside the company, you will then be cross-collateralized and diversified at the highest level, because we will have a profit participation position and or an ownership position in virtually every project that goes through our doors. So therefore, an investor in us, while they can take the benefit of the possible big hits that come out, mm-hmm. but at the same time, their risk is greatly mitigated. And so we believe the real smart money, the especially smart money, comes in during the Regulation A raise, where as soon as we finish that or get to a point where we can expand our services, we've already been accepted onto a Regulation A plus affinity group raise, and we get to appeal to not only just general investors, but non-accredited and accredited horror fans and people who want to take advantage of the possible returns. Those total tens of millions of people throughout the country and the world.
So I actually wasn't clear enough about what I was talking about, but I'll explain it to you. Under most circumstances, if somebody's doing a crowdfunding program, what they're doing is they're almost acting like somewhat of an angel group, where they're collecting money and they're doing equity investments in companies. In your case, you're collecting money, but you're mainly, at least initially, you're doing a lot of investing in projects, not companies. Correct?
Well, yeah, we're building our infrastructure, yeah. And also, yes, going into individual projects. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So the difference is, and this is what I was trying to get to is, a lot of times when I talk to somebody who's thinking about doing crowdfunding, one of the questions that I have is that, you know, as an investor, we'll generally tell entrepreneurs, you know, you don't need money, you need smart money. And the problem, if a lot of times, if you're dealing with groups of investors, it's not really smart money because, first of all, they're not there to provide you any types of services, or they all think that they're going to provide you services, like all of them think that they're the CEO. So it's a lot more difficult for the entrepreneur. When you're doing crowd, when I hear other people talking about crowdfunding, it's even more disassociated because those people that are investing in a crowdfunding operation, the investments going out to those companies, some of them will probably never talk to the entrepreneur. The entrepreneur cannot rely on any one of those people to provide any information or counseling, which really separates it from a professional investor standpoint. And it gets to be, it can get to be challenging for the entrepreneur because they're thinking they're getting one thing and they're not getting, and then they don't get the other. The other problem with a lot of these are, if you go out as a venture capitalist and raise the fund, it's usually over a 10-year period of time, which can be extended up to 5 or 6 years, depending upon your agreement. And what you do is you try to invest about 60% of the fund during the first 5 to 6 years, reserving the remainder of the fund to be able to do things to help the company's exit during the last 4 to 5 years. Well, groups that get together, especially if I've seen angel groups to put together funds, they try to invest everything that they raised in no time at all. And then they come back for subsequent rounds that are needed to be able to help the companies along. They don't have the money. So those are challenges that I'm trying to also understand, not with what you're doing because you're doing project funding, but a lot of it. But if you're going to do company funding, that's one of the things that you have to take into consideration. How do you stay with and advise the company during the life of the company till they exit? That's what I was getting at.
I understand that. And interestingly, I think that you pointed out some differences of what we do as opposed to other scenarios.
Sure.
Especially in the terms of accredited investors, first of all, investors can come into HEF itself and be in contact with us and know what we're doing at all times. But our fingers and our hands stay in all the projects because, in generally speaking, especially for the accredited investor situations on films and projects of that sort, we are part of the SPV. We have limited parameters in which to operate within that SPV, but we are in communication with all the people on the film, etc., at all times. We, as a company, are on a track for a mini IPO. So that's different than the individual projects that are coming through by issuers. We're involved with them because we're part of that LLC or the SPV in some fashion. Okay. So people who are coming in, now, if you have a private investor that's interested, they can go into an individual project that they like and take out everybody else out. We don't do, as Brian pointed out, and I repeated, we don't do crowdfunding on every project. It's one of the tools that we use. And so our business model, we believe, is extremely flexible to accommodate the needs of whether it be a family office, an individual investor, or anyone else.
So one of the, again, that's interesting because one of the things that I'm hearing, which is very positive for somebody who might consider investing in what you're doing, is that you are providing that capability in the projects that you're investing in because you and your team, not just you and Brian, but I saw the rest of the team, all are very qualified in the field that you're investing, that the investments are going into, so you can provide some of that intelligence that the average crowdfunding operation, whoever's managing it, would not necessarily be able to provide to the investments that they put in.
I'm going to turn it over to Brian to answer that, but I want to point out Brian's, I'll highlight something that Brian said earlier, and that is that we offer resources to people who may not know what's going on or how to do it. So absolutely, we support what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, getting back to the idea that, you know, we have put together a team that is focused, again, on creating an atmosphere where we're picking projects that have the greatest potential for profitability. we do have, we have you know, experts in project development. We have experts in screenwriting, distribution, special effects. Each of those elements go into making your horror-centric project, whether it's a film or a game, and really help to pinpoint what does have the greatest potential for profit. That doesn't mean it will have profit, but we want to increase and mitigate that risk. So increase the upside and mitigate the risk. You know, the other thing that I also wanted to mention is, you know, this is a fairly new territory in terms of this the platform that is being for the equity crowdfunding. And there now, one of the things that's happening is so much of it is being taken, the burden is being taken off of the investor and automated, so that there's now, you know, companies and cottage industries that deal with this aggregation of information, assimilating it. So it's not so, the burden is not so strong on that company or on the investor, but the communication is really somewhat automated.
I want to add something that's actually quite important to our business model that we've overlooked up until now. As opposed to any other crowdfunding scenario in the world, and that includes Kickstarter, Indiegogo, donation-based ones, etc. Generally, the way it works is when you utilize a crowdfunding platform that's going out to the crowd, the issuer, the project owner, is the one that goes out and is all of a sudden, you know, they get onto the platform, and then the platform owner says, okay, raise your money. And all of a sudden, that director, that producer is instantly transformed, or needs to be instantly transformed, into an entrepreneur who knows how to raise money on a crowdfunding platform.
Right.
So we've changed it. That didn't make any sense to us. So when people, issuers, go into our company and they get accepted by us, we conduct the crowdfunding chores. We know the landscape. We know where the investors in horror are by way of unaccredited investors and accredited investors. In fact, we're building adjacent to our horror equity fund company, we're building the Federation of Horror, which is a aggregation community, a community that aggregates the hundreds of websites and blogs dealing with, and festivals dealing with horror around the world. It will be basically a free place for people to congregate, exchange ideas, advertise for jobs, professional resources. We've been inundated with companies that want to advertise there for their services, whether it be payroll services or rental equipment or casting services. But we'll have various stars giving away projects, talking about things. And really what we're doing is we're in fact building a stocked fishing pond, somebody that we can distribute into, that we can market into, a place, a central place that invites all horror fans and thriller fans in and to play and to exchange ideas. It's to the benefit of us, because then we'll also be able to conduct our crowdfunding activities into that pond or that game preserve. And we can also then take that burden off the director, producer, writer, because after all, that's what they're supposed to be doing.
So,
they're supposed to be expert.
So I hate to interrupt you, but we're really at the end of the conversation that we have. I actually let it run a lot longer. I want to give you an opportunity, though. By the way, this has been very informative, and I appreciate it. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, we'll give you actually two domains. There's, of course, our www.horrorequityfund.com. It's a demo site. They can learn more about the company and the people involved.
Mm-hmm.
A very good place to go, however, is www.crowdfunder.com/horrorequityfund/invest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I'll repeat it again, crowdfunder.com/horrorequityfund/invest. Gives the full story, has a rather detailed slideshow and slideshare and PowerPoint. And I think both those places might be good. You could also write to info@HorrorEquityFund.
Great.
Info@HorrorEquityFund.
I appreciate it, and this was a great interview, and I'm really happy to see companies coming out on the funding side of this as opposed to just the sourcing side of it. So I appreciate it, and look forward to hearing more about this in the future.
Thank you.